Chapter 46. Late Friday afternoon. Cute town, huh? Lena smiled over at Amelia, sitting beside her in the back seat. Gowrie was finishing his turn at the wheel, and Zell was looking out for Reed Cove Village Restaurant.
Oh, it's so rustic! Do you think it's kept this way to be a tourist trap?
Amelia asked, wide-eyed.
Nah, it's the ghetto underskirting of Atlas City. That's why we'll be staying here. Cheap.
Lena answered. On your left, Gowrie. Zell pointed out the place with a recently repainted sign.
Yeah, I see it. Looks okay. No broken windows.
Gowrie said, faintly humorously, as he pulled into a parking space. He held open the eatery's door for his friends and handed Zell the car keys as he passed by.
It's early. Only 5 o'clock. Want to take a walk and check in at the hotel across the street?
Zell hesitated, then nodded. Good idea. Gowrie encouraged the others to find a table and order drinks.
He needs to keep busy, you know, and he won't eat anyway. I can wait.
Amelia watched him leave, and then said in passing,
Mr. Gowrie's so sweet and thoughtful, like a big teddy bear. He sure takes care of Zelgadis, too.
Yeah, like the little brother he doesn't need, huh? Lena chuckled.
Mr. Gowrie's the best. Everyone says so, Amelia added. You ought to try and be nicer to him, Lena.
And why's that, Amelia? I'm plenty nice as it is, she said defensively, and noticing that her friend had dropped, finally, the Miss formality with her as well as the Mr. for Zellos.
Because he's here for you, Lena, to protect you, to risk his life so that you can get some disc or paper or whatever, to serve the just and righteous cause,
Amelia cried, fist held high in the air. He's here to help me and Zell and Zellos and you too. I didn't ask him to do that either. It's his choice. I'm the only one who had to come to this vile village, Lena snapped.
Lena, don't pretend you don't know how much he cares for you. Mr. Zelgadis, too. And Mr. Zellos still. Wow, Lena, Mr. Zellos kissed you at least 2 times longer than me, I'm sure.
Don't remind me. He was taking advantage of a sappy moment. That Zellos, Lena groaned, blushing at the thought.
Is that why you can't be close to Mr. Gowrie? Lena, you do like Mr. Zellos, don't you?
I like things about him, Amelia. Zell and Val and Gowrie, too. I don't think I have to choose one and make that one a boyfriend. I'm not ready for one. I'm not interested in dating or committing. I have things to do, places to go, and more on my mind than boyfriends. Got it?
Lena's voice rose to a shriek.
And you should, too. Sylvia's a bad influence on you, but she's limited her future to getting a healthcare job and settling down in a few years. And Philia, she should know better. Alan Schetzer, of all people. Even Val's got better morals,
I think. She mumbled her doubts. I gotta give you credit, though. You've stopped mooning over Zell, and he seems more relaxed around you. He needs to learn how to cultivate friendships before he can accept affection.
He let me hug him this morning, without blushing!
Amelia burst with the news.
His father and him made up, and he's going to help us. My daddy said so, too. Zelgadis was so happy when he picked us up in the morning.
What? Rezzo's helping him? Why didn't you say anything in the car?
He should have told me. That's important news,
Lena shouted, looking at the door as if expecting him to walk in any minute.
That was in the morning. He's so down now. He might be waiting until Mr. Zellos shows up, so he only has to say it once. Anyway, please don't yell at him. He'll know I told you, and then he'll be mad at me, too,
Amelia begged. I won't say a word, Amelia. Here they come. Hey, if we can get him to eat, my day's a success, Lena smirked. To Gowrie, she asked, So, how are the accommodations?
He began cautiously,
glancing down at Zell for support, and pulled out the chair beside Lena. "The room's fine," Zell muttered, standing and checking his watch.
"Room? You mean rooms, don't ya?" Lena hissed.
Zell sighed and closed his eyes, shielding himself from her ruby glare. "One for tonight. After that, the adjoining room is unoccupied, and we can have them both for an entire week at the same cost as just the weekend and Monday. So we have both for the week," he explained carefully.
"For a week, minus tonight," Lena corrected him.
"Minus tonight, that's correct." Zell sat beside Amelia.
"So where are you guys staying tonight?" Lena continued to prod.
"On the floor. You don't think we'd leave you two alone, do you?" He demanded some credit. "I don't know what Zelos will be doing either, but all five of us may be in that room."
"Sounds cozy," chirped a familiar voice.
"Zelos!"
"Yes, indeedy," he grinned and pulled up another chair. "So, what's the house special?" Zell caught himself before jumping up and hugging his friend. That wouldn't be dignified for two guys. He limited his expressions of joy to a serene smile and glancing at a menu with the intention of ordering dinner. Lena was not so serene.
"Zelos! You skunk! You..."
She grabbed him by the collar and screamed in his smiling face. She was interrupted by a large plastic tray that struck her upside the face with a resounding thwack.
"Martina?"
"Why, Martina? How unexpected," Zelos smiled.
Lena was fuming and recovering from the blow, confusion and ire swirling about chaotically in her eyes.
"Don't you pick on him, Lena Inverse. Maybe all your pathetic boy toy losers will let you beat on them, but Zelos is different."
Gowrie and Zell went quite green and had one of their male mind meld conversations about whether to cream Martina, Lena, or just hide under the table.
"You know, cream Martina sounds like a drink," Gowrie muttered. "How did you..." Zell wondered.
"It must be those basic animal instincts." They were spared making a decision, though nothing else, however, when Amelia decided to intervene on their behalf.
"Miss Martina, that was a dirty, slanderous thing to say, and untrue to boot. Mr. Zelos gets beat up more than either of them, I mean..."
She blushed, wondering where that came from.
"I mean, Mr. Gowrie and Zelgadis are both independent and heroic individuals who do not deserve to be put down in any way. And Lena, too. You have no idea what you're talking about, so why don't you just be quiet? And besides, Zelgadis isn't... And, well, Mr. Gowrie isn't... I mean, Zelgadis is not..."
"Feeling very well. Thank you, Amelia," Zell said, and rushed to the men's room to escape the scary girls.
"Neither am I," Gowrie joined him.
"Oh, thanks for abandoning me,"
Lena shook her fist at them. "I can't escape there, you know. Damn ungrateful deserters. Traitors, I oughta..."
"Stand up for your reputation, Miss Lena,"
Amelia declared.
"Stand up and show that mean Miss Martina how pure and righteous you are."
"That'll be pretty hard for Lena," Zelos mumbled.
"What was that?" "You tell her, Zelos!"
"Oh my.
Do you think they're done yet?" "Herodin!" "Harlot!"
"Nope, still at it." "Do we really have to sleep in the same room tonight?"
"Unfortunately, Gowrie, that appears to be the only way. I'm stealing the closet. Maybe you'll fit in the bathtub?" Nels Lotta found his daughter lying on her bed, staring at the ceiling. "Hello, can I come in?" he said, knocking gently at her door.
"Father? Sure, I just got in. Strange. It's spring break, and me and my friends should be having a band practice and partying. Instead,
she broke off in tears.
Oh, Father, why did all this have to happen? It didn't seem real until this week, and...
And? Did something happen that bothered you? He gently prompted.
Yes, the other night, Zelos kissed me, and Lena and Amelia and Philia too, and told everyone he loved them, and went on about how important we were to him, like he doesn't expect to ever come back. But that can't be. And Zell and Lena and Amelia and Gowrie, Father, they might really get hurt. We're just kids, and things were just so good. Why does this have to happen?
She wailed. Her father uncle sighed. Some people have an important role in life. In Zelos' case, it's now. He's recognized this and is dealing with it as best he can, dear. Many young people his age have had to fight for their country in wars, died, and some have survived, too. They had no husbands or wives or children depending on them, just family at home. It's like that for your friends. Gowrie's folks are brave to give up their son. Phil, his treasured Amelia. Rezo, yes, him too, may lose his son. And Luna, her dearest sister, may be walking to her doom. But for a cause they believe in. It's not that they won't be missed, either. That may be your role, to remember them. However, you've been trained in the healing arts of the shrine. I expect you to serve bravely if and when you are called upon to act. Yes, Zelos has warned us of various fallback positions from Atlas City through Seirun to Syrog, so you are likely to see them soon if Gov's not contained in Atlas City.
He's so nice and funny, Father. We were all just getting to know him and poor Zell, his best friend. Zell has been so depressed, you know.
Silphiel sniffed again, then smiled at a memory.
Did you know his dream was to have a real family of his own?
She sniffed back tears. Zelos? No, I didn't. He's a strange young man. If he succeeds in his plan to rid this world of two dangerous, foul people, then he'll make his dream come true for many other people, like his friends. Tell me, you haven't become involved with that kid, have you?
Oh, no!
She blushed at the thought.
Gowrie's always been so perfect for me, but Zelos is so unpredictable and fun. He's been concentrating on being a good novice, too.
And dangerous and troublesome. I don't think he's for you, dear. And I actually like him a lot. Well, it hardly matters. We'll just have to wait and see when we are needed. But as for now, come help your mother fix dinner and have something to eat.
Okay, Father. And thanks for listening.
She smiled and brushed her hair before running off to the kitchen. Anytime, dear. He whispered, running his fingers through his thinning hair. He shook his head as he watched her retreating form and thought, God help me if he's as crazy about her as he is crazy. Philia chatted to a few acquaintances on the bus to the settlement. She sat in the window seat in the third row. Val had a note from the school office permitting him to take the school bus. It was a good thing, too, because the driver wouldn't have let him on. Even so, he wasn't happy about it. The boy looked like trouble. He didn't look like one of those clean-cut seafeed believers. Val slid into the backmost seat, dumped his travel bag on the seat beside him, folded his arms, and scowled at everyone. He wondered why he was doing this. Not the job for Zelos. That was an honor thing. Why was he staying at Philia's house? Whatever flame once burned brightly now seemed burned out between them. Between them, that's a laugh. Zell thought Amelia's interest in him was about pursuing a cause. Well, that could go for Philia, too. Wasn't he, Val, her lost cause? At least if he was lost, he wasn't a cause anymore. He hated being saved as much as Zell did. More, since Zell really didn't know what he was talking about. After 15 minutes, Philia and Val were the last two kids remaining on the bus. Philia turned her head. Val was staring at her. He kicked his bag onto the floor and patted the empty seat. "Come here," he mouthed silently. No one else around to see it. She stood and wobbled to the back. "Sit down before you fall down," Val advised, and moved his arm to the back of the seat. She leaned against him, and he put his arm around her. "Do you think they'll be all right?" she asked wistfully. "Drive into that slum hole? Sure, they'll be fine doing that. After that, yeah, I'll make sure of it," he said, oozing confidence. "You? What are you doing?" "I'm making sure Milgazia shows up to help, that's what. Then I'm staying around to protect the innocent," he smiled. "So when's Milgazia started taking orders from you, huh?" she smirked. "Once he sees this, he'll want to keep it quiet. He'll waltz with Zelos if I ask him to." Val chuckled and pulled out an envelope for Philia to open. "What? Zelos and Milgazia?" "Shh, keep it down, little clan maiden," Val warned her with a squeeze to the shoulder. "Did Zelos conjure up this trash? Milgazia won't buy it, of course. He knows it's impossible. So this is a fake, and he'll kick your butt out of the settlement so fast. That idiot, Zelos, this could ruin your future. Did you think about that? Zelos wants you to risk your chances at finding home in the clan in such a stupid way. I'll help you. I'll convince Milgazia to go do whatever. Just promise me you'll burn that treacherous birth certificate." "Home with the clan? What makes you think I want that?" Val asked seriously. "Well, I thought you seemed so relaxed and happy, I guess, over the winter break. And, like, you're on a return visit and all," Philia said uneasily. "And you were so impressive with the delivery and handling the crowds, and I thought you liked it there." Val settled his golden gaze on the beautiful girl beside him. "It all depends, that's all." He looked out the window to the pastoral view whizzing by. "I've made promises I gotta keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep."
"Robert Frost? You've read Robert Frost?"
she whispered in wonder. "I've read lots of stuff. I like poetry best. It's more about feeling and less about facts. Stupid, huh?" he asked, looking at her in askance.
"Not stupid. Appealing.
Last stop, Miss Philia. And your, friend there," the bus driver called out.
"Thank you. See you in a week,"
she smiled as she hopped off the bus. She waited for Val, grabbed his hand, and shouted, "Come on, run. I can't wait to see little Quentin." Lena, Gowri, Zelgadis, Amelia, and Zelos were sitting at a table in Riedko Village, waiting for their check to arrive. "So, Luna tells me to go to this shrine up in the mountains here and get directions to the secret hiding spot of this important secret evidence. I know it's important, but why all the cloak and dagger stuff?"
"Your father was a professional, Lena, and he died," Zell reminded her. "She's trying to protect you by giving you false leads and keeping you out of Zelos's way." She gave Zell a harsh glare. "Just my uninformed opinion," he amended.
"Shouldn't we be on our way and get this all over with?" Lena attacked Zelos.
"I have some business with Zelos first, in our room."
Zell drew Lena's attention back to himself. Lena added,
"And that better include us all, Buster!"
Amelia waved down Martina for the check, then followed her to the cash register.
"So why are all of you slumming in Riedko Village?"
Martina pried.
"We have an appointment in Atlas City at a recording studio. We want to learn about the equipment and personnel before scheduling a real and expensive recording date,"
Amelia supplied patiently.
"Recording studio?
Why, I should go along too. I have a song too, you know. Martina cried and looked around wide-eyed. Amelia regretted her honesty. Lena would kill her if this meant having Martina trailing them and sulking around.
Well, we're not going tonight, and it's probably going to be really boring, and not all the band is here either. Oh, they're going. Gotta run. Bye.
Gowry led the group to the room and checked the number on the key and declared,
"Yep, this is it. Ladies first, Amelia. Oh, and you too, Lena."
"How convenient," smiled Zelos, as he withdrew a key with a flourish.
"Where do you think you're going?"
Lena demanded.
"My room,"
Zelos answered, turning the key in the lock of the adjoining room they were deprived of.
"What?"
shouted Lena and Zell in mutual surprise.
"You have a room? Why didn't you get us one, too, while you were at it, bozo?"
Lena asked with a punch to his arm.
"Ow, I would have, but I didn't make the arrangements. I was just given an envelope with instructions and a key,"
Zelos whined defensively.
Zelos, can Zell and I room with you tonight?"
Gowry asked in a quiet voice. He smiled and nodded agreement.
"I have something to show you in the other room," Zell reminded him.
"Group meeting in our room in 5 minutes, okay?"
Lena announced, winked, and smiled, her good humor improved by more livable sleeping accommodations. Zelgadis reached under the bed claimed by Lena and withdrew a long stick partially covered with Gowry's long blue coat. Zelos' face lit up.
You got it. You actually, really, truly got it."
Zell smiled and ripped off the coat. Instead of the Red Priest's staff, a dangerous-looking staff with a glowing red ball at the tip was resting in his scarred hands.
"Oh my gods, where the hell have you been, Zelgadis? How the shit did you get your hand on Zelos' syndicate staff?"
Zelos was sputtering with excitement.
"His language has definitely gone downhill since his conditioning,"
Amelia whispered to Lena.
"Brace yourselves," Lena grinned. "Ready? Rezzo gave it to me. Zelos has gone to Wolfpack Island, but left this behind. They're separating, Zelos. Divorcing after this is all over."
Zelos' happy facade dropped.
"Divorce? Why? What's Rezzo up to?"
Zelgadis sat on the edge of the bed and explained Rezzo's change of heart. "So Mayor Phil and Nels Lotta and my father are all in league now. Rezzo has taken it upon himself to watch Zelos, so she can't interfere or sabotage our plans. In particular, he's watching out for you, Zelos. He reminded me that you'll always be family, his brother-in-law in particular, and my uncle, no matter what."
"So you acquired a real father and lost a brother this week?"
Zello asked in a low voice. "I haven't lost anything but a dangerous stepmother, Zelos. And don't worry, we'll always be brothers, even in those times when we can't manage to be friends," Zell said kindly. Zelos flew at his friend and gave him the hug Zell wouldn't earlier.
"Thank you, Zelgadis."
He jumped back, holding the staff, and cried, "Yes, this is worth millions. Priceless. With this, I wield an amazing power within the syndicate. Thank you. You have no idea what this cost Rezzo to take from her. He just signed his own death warrant should we fail."
"Well, he must place a lot of faith in you, since he made it clear that that was for your use. He, also gave me the Red Priest's staff to keep or give away," Zell said.
"Really? That's great, Zelgadis. I hope you put it in a safe place."
"What's that look supposed to mean?"
Zelos smiled.
I didn't know if you'd want this one, so I brought the other along, too. It's in the trunk of my car," he added sheepishly.
Zelos cracked up.
"That will make a great story to tell your grandkids someday. How Zelgadis stored the shrine's most sought-after relic in the trunk of his car in some sleazy hotel parking lot in Ridco Village. We'd better go bring that in before it's stolen."
Zell blushed at the gentle ridicule, but then sped out of the room to his car. When he returned and passed the staff around for everyone to see, Lena asked again, "It's getting dark out. Are we going to try for that shrine tonight, or pass until the morning?" "Tonight, but we'll wait to make sure everyone's gone home. For what we want to do, we don't want company," Zelos said. Amelia held the priest's staff in awe. The red priest's magnificent staff belonged to Zelgadis, and she was holding it. "Oh, Zelgadis, this is beautiful! No matter what, I feel privileged to have held this. I can feel the holiness of the red priest like an aura." Misty tears began to collect in her eyes, clumping her long lashes and blurring her vision. Her friends noticed and were about to say something when she beat them to it. "It gives me courage. The courage I need to go on. Yesterday, Daddy talked to me. It might be the last time I ever..." She choked off, then resumed. "I love him. He might be big and scary and strange, but he's been such a big part of my life after Mom died of cancer and my sister left." She looked wistful. "He said that he understood why I wanted to come, to make a difference, to take a stand for righteousness, but that it was hard to let me go to an uncertain fate. However, he had so much faith in you all, my friends, and in me, that he knows that our just cause will prevail and we'll all live long and..."
"Prosper." From Star Trek. Vulcans say that as a greeting. You know, pointed ears, super logical, half-breed science officer on USS Enterprise. Mr. Spock. Zell explained to the blank faces. "Is that someone you pretended to be when you played with Lena?" Gowrie asked, totally clueless about the 1970s TV series. "Does kinda sound like ya." Zelos burst out laughing, while the others sat and watched Zell turn increasing intensities of red. "That was my last attempt at humor," Zell sputtered and folded his arms across his chest. Zelos, barely holding back his giggles, walked over to Zell and tapped him on the head. Zell didn't blink an eye. Zelos turned toward Lena and said in a deadly serious voice, "He's dead, Jim." Before Zell could react, Zelos shook his head, put on a frown, and said in his best imitation of a Scottish brogue, "That's not very funny, Dr. McCoy, seeing as how it's just those rare Vulcan mating hormones acting up and all." Zell gasped and tried to pound his friend into oblivion, while Zelos laughed and hardly fought back.
Was I right? Only he plays with him instead?" Gowrie asked Lena, skeptical that only he seemed to get Zell's point. Zell was muttering to Zelos between punches. "Damn it, Zelos, you could have just said we watched the reruns in the hospital." Lena just shook her head.
"I guess, Gowrie. Hey, cut it out. Don't we have some gov butt to kick around now?" "That's right, it's late enough. Let's go. Zell, you feeling okay? You're acting weirder than Zelos now. You know that, right?" "Well, I'm telling ya, so when you start dancing, I can be the first to say, 'I told you so.'" "Yeah, and I know you won't hit me, 'cause of that honor thing you've got about not hitting girls." Lena chuckled while Zell fumed. She pulled on her black and red coat, from Gowrie, over her yellow t-shirt and favorite red jeans. Zelos laughed and disappeared next door to grab his priest's cloak and warm blue gloves that he tossed onto one of the beds.
"So, are you going to make me carry that priest thingy and your sword?"
Gowrie asked, as he slipped his own sword into his makeshift belt attachment. He dragged on his blue coat over his jeans and baggy blue t-shirt and glanced at Zell.
"No, I'm not sure what to do with it now. It's not safe any place I put it.
Zell said with a touch of exasperation. How could he not have planned for that contingency? He tied on his sword, using a second belt over his long-sleeved, oversized tan t-shirt and khaki cargos. He picked up his hooded beige coat and put it on, sighing with unreleased tension showing on his face.
Let me carry it, please!
Amelia begged him with the biggest pair of blue eyes she could muster.
I promise not to let it out of my hands. And besides, I haven't anything to carry.
She spun on a heel to demonstrate that only her matching pink-trimmed white blouse, pants, and coat were in her possession. Well, aside from her ubiquitous shoulder bag. Fine, but it's heavy, so trade off with me if it starts to slow you down. Zell nodded and handed off the Red Priest's staff. Now, where's our guiding light?
Ready!
Zelos called as he waved from the doorway. The cloak nearly hid his creamy turtleneck and black pants. In his gloved hand was the ruby-topped staff, glowing faintly in the gloomy hallway.
Shall we proceed, O brave followers?
Onward! Lena laughed.
And upward!
Added Amelia.
Oh, joy.
Sighed Zell, with Gowrie in silent agreement beside him. Val pitched his light bag onto the floor of the den where Zelos had slept through most of the famous Ulkopt home delivery. The result of that joyous event, baby Quinny, was asleep, as was his exhausted mother. Napping, Philia's father said, holding a finger to his lips and turning on the oven to heat the casserole his wife had made earlier.
I'm taking a shower,
Philia announced and disappeared down the hallway.
I'll take a walk unless you need help, Val said in a low voice.
No, thank you. Relax a bit. Dinner at 6 o'clock, Mr. Ulkopt reminded him. Val nodded and left the house, following one of the narrow paths that meandered throughout the rural settlement. This one, he remembered from December, traced its way from Philia's house to a copse of trees at the top of a low hill. There, he settled onto a fallen tree trunk and lit a cigarette, his secret vice. He certainly had enough blatantly exposed ones. Before he placed his first step into the band practice room, Zelos had spoken to him privately. He never smoked in that room, or anywhere in his friend's presence. The better he understood Zelos's mother, the better he understood his friend. And she smoked lots. So in a rare show of respect for Zelos's sensibilities, Val never smoked in his presence. From the depths of his jacket pocket, Val withdrew a small, worn book and thumbed through the ragged pages to find a marked spot.
"There you are!" Philia cried out. "It's almost dinner time, and I thought you'd be heading back by now. Val!"
Val dashed out the burning stub on the ground.
"I heard ya. I'm coming."
Philia proceeded to give him a lecture upon the health benefits of clean living, and ranted on about how smoking was the number one detriment to both good health and clean living. He shook his head, dismissing her blather.
"Yeah, well, don't matter. I'll follow you."
"But it does matter. It matters to me, and it should matter to you. You don't want to die of some awful cancer, do you? Well, do you? Besides, I'd never kiss anyone who smoked. Such nasty-tasting breath," she blurted out.
That got his attention. Maybe she did care about what happened to him. Maybe she cared more than she cared to let on. Maybe, secretly, he vowed never to smoke again.
"Yeah, like dragon breath, huh?"
He chuckled and strode past her, pocketing his book. "Why did I say that to him? Now he'll think I'm thinking about letting him kiss me. As it is, after hauling Alan off me, he probably thinks I'm easy. He hasn't said so, of course. But after that stupid remark..." Philia squeezed her hands into fists and stomped after him.
"Oh, Val, By the way, I didn't mean that to sound like it did.
He slowed to let her catch up to him. It sounded like you cared about what I did. You didn't mean that?
No, I mean, I do care. I was talking about the other part.
Other part? What are you talking about, Philia? He stopped and let her catch her breath. She did sound a little out of breath. She was breathing pretty hard.
The part about not kissing anyone who smoked.
She faltered, forgetting what her point was. Then you'll kiss someone who smokes? He dared her on.
No, no, I won't, but...
So if I asked, you wouldn't kiss me, huh?
Well, that's not really my point here.
Then you would?
He pressed for some sign from her, some lowering of her defenses. Would what?
She trembled. What a word game mess she had just gotten herself into. Val crossed his arms and looked away. Will you let me... Ah, forget it, Philia. Let's face it. You're interested in those pretty rich boy types like Shetzer and Zelos. I ain't one. So quit pretending that I'm some ugly duckling who's gonna be some hot swan dude. I may have fallen for you, but I ain't changing overnight. And I'm not some hard luck case to improve, either. He looked back down at her. A leaf had blown into her hair. He reached for it and disentangled it, then stashed it into his back pocket. Ah, don't think I'll go pawn all over you like those other dudes, either. Usually the girls go for me first, ha ha. Come on, or your dad'll have the whole clan posse after us. Well, me, anyways. Val chuckled and loped on ahead. Philia walked in silence. Had he just admitted that he still liked her? Yeah, she was pretty sure that was in there somewhere. But he's not going to make the first move. It would be up to her. And he was staying the rough punk kid. Take him or leave him. Well, now, she had her choice of admirers. Better in many ways than him. No way was she going to go begging for his attention. No way. He could just suffer. She wasn't looking for a boyfriend anyway. Especially one living under her roof right now. Especially one who thought he was so great, with no room to improve. Arrogant idiot. And what was he reading out there? What could be in that little book? Dinner at the Ul Copts was quiet. Val ate and listened politely, but offered nothing to the conversation. He was rolling around his arguments to Milgazia in his mind. He must convince him to do whatever Zelos asked. He could only hope that he wouldn't have to rely on a bogus birth certificate and blackmail. Philia might never forgive him so grievous an insult to her leader as that. And her opinion mattered a lot. Philia was sure that she had made her point. In absolute silence. Words were not necessary. Attitude was in the way you moved. And she was aloofness incarnate. Too bad he wasn't noticing her. Why wasn't he even looking at her? He was outdoing her on the coolness scale. Ooh, she growled to herself. Philia, darling, did you have a bad day at school? Well, you have all spring break to recoup, starting with tonight. Your father and I are going out. It's been a long time for us, and I'm sure between the two of you, you'll be able to take care of Quentin. I've already filled the bottles with expressed breast milk, so you can feed him anytime he squawks. Okay, dear? Her mother asked. What? Babysit? Tonight? Oh, sure, fine. I have no plans. How about you, Val? You have a hot date or something? Philia snapped out of her reverie and into reality. Something, maybe, if Zelos calls. But other than that, no.
I'll be here, Mrs. Ulcopt, he answered politely. Zelos, you had band plans then?
Philia's mother asked. No, he's gonna kill my stepdad and I need to be there, Val said vacantly.
Was that a joke, dear? Zelos didn't seem to be the violent type when he was here,
Mrs. Ulcopt said jokingly, and followed her husband to the door.
Huh? Oh yeah, a joke.
He's a nerd and...
And a major geek, Mom,
added Philia for emphasis. Nice hair, though. Val glanced at Philia. He looks like a girl.
Then you're looking at the wrong parts,
Philia snapped. And what parts are you looking at? He grinned.
Bye, kids. Don't wait up.
What? What could you possibly... Oh, bye, Mom and Dad. Have a good time.
Possibly mean by that. I hope you weren't insinuating that I have any interest in that piece of raw garbage.
He's okay, really. And I know girls who like him, too. Younger, mostly. He's, got a strange magnetic personality. Hey, that's fine with me if you want to pretend he's out of the loop. I just think he looks like a girl. So does Zell. Or did more before he got his face messed up. But, hey, they're both the best friends I've got now. Shit, that's so lame. But it's the truth. Gary, too. So, when I get that call, I go. Understand?
He looked so sincere and intense. The clan Val, the open Val, that Philia was knocked down a few pegs.
You'll go and take Milgazia with you. That's right, huh? Right, I'm going too.
Oh, no. Philia, your parents would kill me without a second thought. I couldn't, no. It's gonna be too dangerous and you got no reason to be there. Me, I gotta be there. Gov, the Syndicate, keep away, Philia. If anything happened to you, I'd have to come back and explain to your parents, and I'd lose my tie to the clan and all. I'd never forgive myself. No, you stay, watch over things here, and... is that a baby crying? Val jumped up and practically ran down the hall.
Philia was aghast. That was the most emotional outburst from him that she'd remembered. He loved his friends and wanted to do his part to protect them and be a hero, too. And he wanted her safe, to protect her as well. What happened to Mr. Arrogant but Cool about it? Well, now.
Martina, exhausted from her catfight with Lena and the bleakness of the late-night shift at the restaurant, rubbed her eyes and took a second look at the five figures moving in stealth from the hotel to the parking lot. She decided to observe them from a safe location behind the restaurant's garbage bin.
Yes, those were her friends. What were they doing out at this hour sneaking around?
She watched them pile into the car carrying long sticks and drive off in the direction of the shrine.
Yes! The car turned up the winding drive to the hill's top shrine. Now that was interesting. No recording studio up there. What kind of trouble could Lena be trying to get her Zelos? For he did still pine after her, right? In spite of the obvious affection Zangalus doted upon her? Better hurry before they get too far.
Ugh! She cried out.
Sorry, Miss Martina. Guess I missed with the night's garbage. You shouldn't have been back there, though, groused the busboy, after just dumping a pail of slop over her dress.
Now I'll have to change first, she screamed, and ran off into the night.
Zell was using a tool from a hidden pocket to jimmy the lock on the shrine door. Almost there. Got it, he smiled proudly. It's hard handling fine tools wearing these driving gloves, but we're in. Breaking and entering now, Zell? Lena smirked as she led the way into the dark hall. I'd forgotten about that hidden talent, but I'm quite impressed.
I can't believe you know how to do such criminal things, Amelia cried.
I only did it so that Lena wouldn't destroy the door. And I know that it's wrong, and I regret doing it, and I don't justify my actions at all.
Yeah, so I'll tell McGuinn to arrest you later. Okay, Mr. Self-Righteous?
So, Zelos, what now? Lena asked, as the darkness closed in around them. I believe that we follow the sound of the computer hum. That way.
He indicated that they should stumble around in the semi-darkness of his glowing staff and turn left.
That's right, kids. If you're looking for the bathroom.
That's the buzzing of the failing overhead fluorescent light in the men's room, said a very short old woman,
that had appeared out of the darkness from the other direction. The kids stopped up short. Zelgaras was the closest to the old woman, and was feeling guilty about the break-in.
Gah!
He choked back a cry of fear. He had broken into a shrine, for God's sakes. He was going to pay. Then he recognized the grizzled features.
Oh, I know you. You're the old caretaker from the Syrog Shrine. Remember me, Zelgaras? And this is Zelos. You told us about...
Hold on, young man. You must have confused me with my sister. I'm the caretaker of this shrine. Just call me Auntie Aqua. Heh heh. It's my nickname from the days I delivered all the holy water to the shrines. Or was it drinking water? No matter. You must be looking for something, my dear, she said, turning to Lena. Auntie Aqua can help you.
Sis didn't tell me anything about you being here, Lena mumbled.
Oh, but she told me all about you. Come, dear, and all your nice friends. Tell me all about yourselves. Oh, and thanks for not damaging the lock. Though next time, just knock, like the sign says. The shrine's always open.
She smiled at poor Zell and led them away from the bathroom passage. Zell glared at Zelos, who shrugged.
How should I have known?
Indeed, Zelos did not know this woman's connections to Luna, or the shrine, or to his sister in Syrog. His boss had left this out of his information packet. To relieve boredom and stress, he began to chant, There once was an old hag from Syrog, who had a twin sister whom she gagged. She tied her with a rope, and to dismiss any hope, she filled her great maw with a clean rag. We're looking for some particular information, Lena said cautiously. It's evidence of many past crimes, but I don't know much else.
This way leads to the computer facility. Yes, down this secret passage through the shrine's underground catacombs. It's a long way, so I hope you like to walk,
Auntie Aqua explained.
Lena didn't mind the walk, but Gov's presence weighed heavily on her mind. She smiled and asked hopefully, Would you take us there?
Surely, dearie. It's my job, the old woman smiled. But would you be so kind as to help an old lady and carry these for me?
She piled Lena's previously empty arms with her mop and bucket of cleaning supplies. Lena and the old woman walked ahead, arm in arm and chatting amicably.
Lena makes friends fast. Those two are getting along well, Zell remarked to Gowrie. Gowrie smiled and nodded. Lena makes friends fast because she's a lot nicer than she lets on.
Zelos walked beside Amelia in the back, wary of the shadows and creatures hidden in the darkness. Was this where Gov was hiding? Fabrizio was uncertain. At least, his information was unclear.
So, these must be good friends to accompany you, the old woman said to Lena. Especially that good-looking tall one. Is he someone special?
Lena blushed. Who, Gowrie? We're just good friends. There's nothing going on between Gowrie and me.
Auntie Aqua smiled knowingly and slowed to a halt before a wall of circuit breakers. Went the switches as hundreds of rows of fluorescent lights poured their dim radiance over the group and over row upon row of computers. They had arrived in a room filled with computer monitors. In all directions, doors in the walls opened up in more computer-filled rooms. Lena and company walked forward, passing through more rooms which opened into countless more rooms, all filled with countless more computers. Zelos smiled at Zell. Computers they could deal with. At first, even Lena and Amelia gave the terminals their best try.
I can't understand a word! Does this need a password to make it intelligible?
Lena yelled over to Zell.
I don't know, Lena. It will take a while to figure out how this data is encoded, he said calmly, and returned to his work. It's no human language I recognize, Zelos muttered. Damn, that's no good either. What insane genius conceived this data storage device? You wouldn't be able to answer any of my questions, would you? He asked the old woman.
Not my line of work. She shook her head. Come with me, dear, she said, taking Lena aside.
Gowri, bored, trailed behind to the next room. Auntie Aqua took both Lena's hands in her own as they sat together at one of the tables.
So, Lena dear, tell me, what are your plans here?
Lena stopped short. Someone had finally asked that question, the one she dreaded. Amelia, Zelos, Gowri, Val, even skeptical Zell, they'd all been so wrapped up in their own problems, and rightly so in most cases, that they'd mercifully forgotten to talk about what was actually happening. They were too scared, too confused, too, well, young, to really fully grasp the magnitude of their situation. Lena knew. It was repression, voluntary, conscious repression of this giant cloud that loomed on the horizon for so long and was now gathering overhead, threatening to burst. If they couldn't talk about it now, just imagine what it would be like in a week, a month, a decade. Would they lose this entire year? Or would they lose all the rest of their years, their entire future? No matter how many times they said it, they didn't believe it. Not even Zelos. Lena knew it. She knew that not even Zelos could comprehend dying. It was impossible in their minds. And Lena knew she would do anything, anything, to keep them alive. Somehow, she sensed in this old woman the potential of someone who could understand her plight. And so, Lena confided in Auntie Aqua. I would do anything I could to save them. The only thing I have to offer is myself. I'd pledge myself to Gov, to the Syndicate, to anything to save them. No, she said with vehement finality. No, dearie, you mustn't do that. You cannot. Lena looked at her with despair. But it's all that I can do. It's my last trick. I know more than anyone but Zelos and Zell does about this whole thing. And I know deeper than them, too. I know what Gov wants, and I know he'll get it, too, unless there's someone to stop him. And if that means something drastic, no, Lena, you don't understand at all. You wouldn't be saving them, but destroying them and everything else you love. A shiver of truth ran through Lena as she listened to the old woman speak. If you joined with Gov, not only would you be doing yourself a great evil, depriving yourself of your bright and promising future, the brightest and most promising future I've ever seen, but you would be destroying your world. Lena, your friends wouldn't have come all this way just for Zelos. It is you they follow, Lena. You they follow to the end. You know that is true, because as far as they know, this is the end, and they're here with you. You think you are doing this for Zelos, but it's not just for him, is it?
No, it's for everybody. I understand, and you wouldn't want to destroy all that, would you? For if you joined Gov, so would your friends, and then they'd be lost, especially Valentine, Zelgadis, and Zelos.
Tears collected in the corners of Lena's blood-red eyes as images of a possible future flashed unbidden across her mindscape. Those shivers of truth went right to her heart, which was racing with her mind. Could she believe it? Accept? Understand? Useless. Everything I've ever learned is absolutely useless. Zell cried with frustration as he tapped away at the computer terminal. There are so many. The data we need could be on any or all of them, but I can't decipher a goddamn thing. Amelia looked at him with sad eyes.
It's not your fault, Zelgadis. You're doing everything possible. So am I, and Mr. Zelos, too. We'll just keep at it.
Zelgadis drew in a breath. This sucks. I'm seeing double now. Zelos, you getting anywhere? Ugh, Zelos grunted. Right, same old, same old. This could take forever. Zelos exclaimed with cheer. You're the closest, Amelia. You punch him. Zell sighed, rubbing his blurry eyes.
But he has so many bruises already,
she cried. Instead, she stood behind Zelos and massaged his shoulders.
It's got to be here. I know you can find it. One of you will.
She punctuated her words with a pounding to his back. Ouch! Amelia, stop hitting me. He giggled in mock terror of her attack. Help me! Zelgadis, she's hurting me! I'm sure you can handle her, Zelos. Leave me out of your fights. Arg, not again. I can't stand this. And I'm really good at it, too. Or was. Give me a break here. Where do you suppose Lena's gone? Zelos asked. She took a walk with the old hag. Gowri, too, I think. Zell answered vacantly. If we don't make any headway, too, we'll have to try Plan B. Plan B? Will I like it any better? Zell smirked. No, but it's more dangerous. Oh, joy. I'm not making any headway here, either. I'm going to find Lena and suggest an alternative. Zelos rose from his terminal and kicked the chair. Lena sat deep in thought. The old woman had wandered off. Gowri was fiddling with the dangling zipper pulls on his cargo pants pocket, trying to entertain himself. No one was talking to him. And without something to occupy himself with, his brain would just shut off. Hi, Lena said, smiling weakly at him as she moved to sit beside him.
Hey, he smiled back.
What the old woman had said to Lena suddenly moved itself to the front of her mind, repression again. She didn't want to think of the task at hand, so instead she was left to dwell on less earth-shaking things. Though less earth-shaking for whom? We've been hanging out together, with the band and all, a long time, huh? I mean, it's getting to be natural thinking of us together like this, you know? He nodded, wondering if she was ever going to get to the point, or if he should step in and guide her over there himself. Would he even have the guts if he had the opportunity? So, I was wondering how much longer you'd stick around. What with graduation coming up, and that job you're thinking about. The band's pretty important, she asked softly. Gowri smiled, relaxed.
Oh, I was thinking the rest of my life.
There. He'd done it. It wasn't hard at all. What was so hard about communication? Lena blushed. What could she say to that? That's nice sounded shallow. That's a long time, sounded pretty lame, too. Did he mean what she thought he meant? Nah, he couldn't, could he? Don't you have places to go and people to see and experiences to, experience? She asked, leaning over to see his reaction. Gowri's head was resting against the wall, eyes closed in a quiet, peaceful sleep. Lena sighed. How could the thought have even entered her mind, the big lug? He was loyal and blonde like a golden retriever, and not quite as bright. She was awfully glad he was there with her. And a strange pang began mewing in her chest. She pushed her chair closer to his, leaned on his side. Within a minute or two, she was asleep as well. She dreamed she was playing Clue with the devil, except that she and all of her friends were the pieces. She was Miss Scarlet, Amelia Mrs. White, Zell was Mr. Green. Val seemed to be sharing that role with him in a grudging sort of way. Zelos, Professor Plum, Philia had the role of Mrs. Peacock, and Gowri made a convincing Colonel Mustard. They were just pieces in a game, and the devil, a tall, bulky man with bottle brush red eyebrows and a Picasso face, was moving them about on the board, laughing and guffawing at their feeble attempts to break free. All she had to do was give in, become complacent and docile, and it wouldn't hurt as much. Oh no, if she stopped thinking, stopped trying, it wouldn't hurt at all,
Then there was another force, an additional influence. Sometimes it was grandmotherly Auntie Aqua. Sometimes it was a man, blonde, serene, with power in his jawline, and kindness in his stunning blue eyes, standing beside the devil. And suddenly, the giant presence of the red-browed devil has shrunk. Beside Aqua, he was nothing. Beside a power, a goodness, this devil was revealed to be but a minor demon attempting to usurp power from a greater evil. Now, Lena was free, for this new information entered her mind. You don't have to give in. There is a way. Gov is not the end. You can find a way. It will be better than any choice anyone can give you. Don't give up. Lena's eyelids shot open, only to see Auntie Aqua's kindly old face not far from her. Auntie, she started. Ahem! Came a rough voice from the doorway opposite Lena and Auntie Aqua. Zelos, humming a tune, stepped into the room from a different path. Zelos? Lena asked, hoping for some good news. His eyes were riveted to the man hovering just inside the door. Hearing Lena call his name, he diverted his eyes to her. We can talk later. The stranger stepped into the room, his coarse appearance contrasting sharply with the stark, clean computer room. So, you've come to interfere again, Zelos? Well, yes, of course, Mr. Sagram. Zelos smiled politely. Sagram? Lena hissed unhappily. She recalled the name from the Valentine's Day dance. Sano had reported some goon looking for Val, and Val mentioned the name Sagram. One of Gov's retainers, Auntie Aqua whispered to her. It's been a long time. What do you want with us today? Zelos asked easily, folding his arms across his chest and smiling. Sagram frowned. You've become a bit of a nuisance for us. I understand you have a contract as well. I like a challenging boy. Those aren't the words I expected from someone who usually turns tail and runs. Of course, that was from a master swordsman 2 feet shorter than you. Zelos' smile widened. That's it. Damn it all. Sorry, Amelia, but I have admitted defeat. Shh. I heard Lena. Voices! Come on, this way! Zell shouted, and grabbed Amelia's free hand and led her deftly through the maze of rooms. An incredibly tall and powerfully built man entered the room where Lena was entertaining Zelos and Sagram. The room shrank in comparison. He wore an oversized gold trench coat over ill-fitting clothes, and his glorious mane of red hair flowed over his back. But it was the lantern jaw, sadistic eyes, and flame-red eyebrows that told Lena that this was Gov. Gov's eyes were riveted first to Lena and her valuable treasures, the amplification jewelry belonging to the syndicate. Next, he noticed the Red Priest's staff, held defiantly by Amelia, who had just entered the room. That he wanted too. His expression of greed became one of malice as his eyes spied the staff of Zelos' power in the hands of a young priest kid. Someone he knew. Zelos recognized him as well. An expression of anger and fear washed over his previously composed features. It was fleeting, however, and he quickly adjusted his face and stance, remarking, "So Gov himself finally makes an appearance. All the times we in the Syndicate have challenged you, you've hidden away." Gov's expression darkened. "Your being here changes all that. You don't want Hellmaster to see all this stolen stuff hidden away in Atlanta City. Mostly his, right? He is your greatest obstacle now, isn't he?" Zelos continued boldly. "Gov is hiding from who? Hellmaster? Who the hell is he, and why would he be interested in me?" Lena wondered in silence,
watching the tense scene unfold before her.
"You've changed your image and your name since I last saw you,"
Zelos giggled lightly. He was amused himself by watching Gav's expressive eyebrows. They were nothing if not two gigantic, furry orange caterpillars, cavorting above and sometimes over and in his eyes.
"You were that stupid, doting, and very short-lived stepfather number two, if I recall correctly. My real father being number one, naturally."
Gowrie, awake by now, was startled to clarity by those words.
"I wore his clothes, once, after getting wet," he gasped to Zell,
who had sneaked into the room with Amelia. Finding the other spellbound to the overbearing maniac's presence, Zell was able to catch Lena's eye and surreptitiously slip a disc into her hand, shaking his head. Lena blinked. Gav was one of Zelos' stepfathers? Oh no, was this another secret? Maybe he didn't know till now. What's that? Zell's got the info? No? Why's he shaking his head? Doesn't matter. Once the handoff to Lena was complete, Zell began to do the math. Zelos' dad dies when he's 5. Mother remarries for only 2 years or so. But if Gav became Val's stepfather, that wasn't long after he turned 5 or 6, because he was in that kindergarten pick of Philia's, then disappeared. Gav couldn't be married and in 2 places at once, so if Zelos married him right after, ugh, Zelos lost his dad, and Val is only 4, not 5 or 6 at that time, then 2 years later, Gav leaves Zelos and becomes Val's stepdad when Val is now 6, not 7 or 8. That works. No, Zelos implied that this second stepfather taught him about the birds and the bees when he was only 7, which is pretty young for... Oh god, no, that's too awful to imagine. Change gears. What if Val is younger? He'd just be 17, not 18. Shit, even that stupid Milgazia story would work out. No, that's not even right if Zelos had an affair with Milgazia before Zelos was born. What if it was after? Ugh, this is madness! Zelos bowed deeply to the giant hoodlum. After referring to Gav as a past stepfather, he was now bringing him up to date. "And now you're just a traitor to the Shabernigdo Consortium." Gav stepped forward, closer to the brave young man. "Oh yeah? You mean I used to be a lot more polite?" he shouted the last word, at the same time that he reached out and slammed Zelos' face into a handy computer terminal. Remarkably, Zelos' mild-mannered facade held. Gav grinned and attacked again, punching the kid without mercy in the chest. He held Zelos by the neck and sputtered into his face. "Now, there are a few things I need to ask you. Are you listening? Good. I hate repeating myself. Now, what are Hellmaster's orders to you? What's that Fabrizio kid up to this time?" Zelos smiled through the blackening eye and swelling cheekbone. "Oh, do mind the hair. I do hate having it messed with, you know." He giggled. Then, more seriously, he went on to answer. "Why, ex-stepfather Gav, I'm here to learn why you were trying to secretly gain control of Atlas City and Seirun, and to get back Hellmaster's stuff, of course." Gav growled. "I know that." "That wasn't all, was it? I want you to explain why you're following that girl." Zelos looked at Lena a moment, then returned his undivided attention back to his opponent, who was continuing to shout in his face.
"What is Hellmaster up to by having you with her instead of sending her alone? Don't waste my time. I could always just kill you right here."
Amelia couldn't contain herself. She was horrified at the abuse Zelos was taking and was about to cry out when the old caretaker's hand covered her mouth.
"Be strong," she whispered.
Zelos opened his eyes and stared straight into the eyes of death, before calmly replying with a smile. "Even threatening me like that. Lord Hellmaster didn't tell me all the details, so I haven't much to add."
"Then you die!"
Gav roared.
"Hold it right there, mister!"
Lena shouted over the gasps of the others. She grinned evilly and waved a shiny disc in the air.
"What kind of joke is this?"
Gav thundered as Lena's outburst instantly distracted his attention.
"You saved me, Lena,"
Zello sighed dramatically as he dropped to the ground. Lena gave him a wink, then courageously addressed Gav.
"You think I can just stand by doing nothing while you bully my friend? Do you know just how powerful to the Syndicate this chump is? That staff alone means he wields all his mother's power. Who knows how much Hellmaster has put at his disposal?"
Gav growled, his eyes never leaving the disc in her hand. From the other doorway, Sagram cleared his throat.
"I'll take that disc now,"
and moved towards Lena. Gowri had nudged Zell when Sagram drew everyone's attention at the doorway. In silent communication, the two kids prepared themselves to step into the fray. Gav's general, Sagram, picked up the intervening table, with 40 terminals and various computer components and equipment piled on it, and slung it out of the way like it was a bag of marshmallows.
"You're a pretty strong guy," Lena gasped.
Sagram nodded. Measuring the distance with his eyes, he knew one long leap was all it would take and he'd be on her.
"Looks like this is it," he hissed.
Gowri and Zell drew their swords to block his way to Lena. Gav narrowed his focus back to Zelos.
"Never mind Atlas City. Never mind Saerun. How dare you come here and interfere with my plans?"
Zelos stood and brushed himself off.
"Please, no need to thank me."
"I'll shut that smart-ass mouth of yours forever," Gav roared back.
"Actually, you're not the first to threaten me about that,"
Zelos grinned.
"What are kids like you doing with swords like those? They ain't toys,"
Sagram taunted them. Gowri and Zell moved cautiously, keeping themselves between Sagram and Lena. Amelia clung to Auntie Aqua like glue, and also moved to a position behind Lena. Zell's mind was racing faster than his heartbeat. The fact that the disc was blank mattered not, as long as Sagram believed it held incriminating information. However, Zell did not want to die over a blank disc. God, another failure. And he wasn't presumptuous enough to think that he and Gowri had any real chance over that trained assassin, who was currently just toying with them, either. There had to be another way out of this. Maybe Zelos had another, or at least some, ace up his sleeve. Of course, he appears to be busy with his own problems. I'd better think. Meanwhile, Gav and Zelos were having some family catch-up time.
"If he was just trying to distract me, you alone would have been enough. But Hellmaster must have some other purpose for that girl. Tell me what it is,"
Gav demanded impatiently, his previously stewing wrath about to boil over.
"And I told you that Lord Hellmaster didn't tell me that. Are you dense or what?"
"Really?" Gav cooled to a near simmer. "But you must have wondered about it, huh? Didn't you want to know why you was ordered to make nice with that girl and bring her here?"
"Yes, I thought I should know what Lord Hellmaster's plan was as well."
Zelos looked at Gav conspiratorially.
"Oh? But, as I learned more about her and her friends, I realized to a large extent what his plan was."
"Humph." Gav relaxed and stepped back from Zelos. "Now, is that so hard? You're a crafty one, all right."
Zelos lowered his voice to a whisper.
"I believe the objective of Lord Hellmaster's plan is..."
He hesitated a split second to judge distances and his friend's whereabouts, then finished, a secret.
He laughed and leaped out of the way of Gov's outstretched arm and massive fist. The right one, anyway. I must remember he's left-handed as well, Zelos thought, as the left connected with his chin, bringing the kid down hard.
Don't let him get near you! Ignore his unjust and idle threats!
Amelia cheered encouragingly to Lena. Lena nodded and turned on her amplifiers.
If I scream loud enough, you'll go deaf!
Sagrim answered back by hurling a chair at Zell and diving again for Lena. Gowrie whacked Sagrim across the back with his sword, flat side down, knocking the air out of him. The older man's momentum carried him into a bank of terminals, where he lay unmoving for some time.
You all right, Zell?
Gowrie cried as he worked his way over to the prone kid, Lena now at his side.
Yeah, just clipped my shoulder. I'm fine, but we gotta make a run for it. Lena, which door? Left?
Zell gasped in pain while struggling to his feet. That one! She pointed left. Zelos! Let's get out now! Zelos was kneeling at Gov's feet, clearly in pain.
Looks like you've all been having a tough battle, too.
Amelia ran to him, oblivious to Gov's might.
Mr. Zelos! You're hurt badly!
He winked up at her through his better eye. I think now would be an excellent time to think of an escape plan, don't you? Gov laughed without humor. Do you think you can escape from me? You never could before. Gowrie sneered.
Mr. Ultimate Bad News is in our way, Lena.
Lena rolled the alternatives over in her head. Offer herself in exchange for her friend's freedom and possibly buy them some time, or...
Hold it!
Shrieked a girl's voice from the room next to them.
Martina?
Shouted the kids in unison. As she slid into the room, colliding with the chairs and the phlotasm of damaged computer hardware, Zell shook his head and moaned, "Here comes the worst possible person at the worst possible time." Martina landed upside down and strewn with cables. She recovered quickly, however, and tore off the last of her entanglements, then cried,
"Oh, Mr. Zelos, dear! I've come to save you!"
"Miss Martina?"
Zelos croaked, confusion replacing his smiling mask. Lena shook her head. Just what they needed. Another idiot to contend with. "Zelos, she's your responsibility, pal." Martina didn't want Lena's interference in her rescue attempt, so she jumped to Zelos' side, arms outstretched in anticipation of his grabbing her, and cried out tearfully, "Master Zelos!" He wasn't paying much attention, though, and so she fell unceremoniously flat on her face. Lena slapped her hands over her eyes and groaned. Zelos looked at Martina, holding a hand to his shoulder and wondering if it was dislocated. He smiled and winced as she pressed her weight on it.
"Master Zelos, you've been hurt!"
Martina whimpered. That did it. Now she was incensed.
"Master Zelos, now that I, Martina Zoanna, Mel Narcoa, have arrived!"
She began her outrageous speech. Zelos blanched in a mixture of pain, horror, and fear that Gov was about to blow them away. With her next statement, Zelos felt that uneasiness in his stomach that Zell often complained about.
"You have nothing to worry about!"
Martina finished with gusto. Lena was about to blow as well. When she hissed between clenched teeth,
"What did you think your coming here will accomplish? You need to ask?"
Martina asked in the snootiest tone possible.
"I'm going to drive these characters,"
she indicated everyone in the room with a careless sweep of her arm.
"Away! 1, 2, 3.
"Look now, Mad Martina. Do you know who this guy is here? He's Gov, the..." Lena burst out.
"The what?"
Martina interrupted rudely. Furious with the delay, the danger, and Martina's contemptuous attitude, Lena started screaming at her. He's one of the most powerful syndicate crime lords in the world. He's really strong. Someone like you can't do anything. Martina drew herself to her full height, which was several inches taller than Lena, and said, I don't care if he's Gov or Gutter. Now, Gov was not a patient man, and this idiocy was arousing his violent temper. He pulled a small digital device from his pocket and held a thumb over its readout window. Is your comedy routine over? I'll show you no mercy, young lady. Gowrie, Lena, and Amelia had been slowly working themselves around to the left doorway, their escape path. Zell, having grabbed hold of Zelos' cloak with demon strength, was dragging him toward the door as well. Digital triggering device, Zelos whispered to Zell, who nodded in understanding, then passed the information to Lena. Gov held a chair over his head with his free hand and was about to bring it down upon Martina's head when the old cleaning lady rolled her bucket of cleaning supplies at his feet with a surprising force. The unexpected impact bowled him over, causing him to release his hold on the chair, bringing it down on his own head. Arrgh! He growled. Lena leapt at Martina and, using her like a shield from Gov's next assault, ran through the doorway. She pushed Gowrie, Zell, Zelos, and Amelia ahead of her, yelling, Move it! He's got some kind of explosive detonator in his hand! Old lady, come on! Auntie Aqua smiled at Lena and told her in a steady voice, When you leave here, go to the Katato Mountains for the original documents. These have been damaged by Gov's people, it seems. And don't look back! She slammed the door against Gov and his general's onrush and jammed it shut with her mop handle. Go! Child, keep to the right at each turn, and hurry! The kids tore through the rooms, hoping their mental compasses were working. Right, 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 straight, right, there! There's the final door, now the shrine's entry. Yes! Gowrie was practically carrying Zelos out the door, whose lock Zell had so carefully picked, and down the steps to the wet, grassy lawn. Go for that hedgerow, Zelos yelled. Everyone dive for it. The warning preceded a violent concussive force plowing through the shrine in a tremendous ball of flame that grew to gigantic proportions before enveloping them all in a hailstorm of cement and smoke. Zelos rolled free of a large block and pulled out his cell phone. Dead, crushed by one of Gov's blows or the impact of the hunk of cement. Not that it mattered. Zelgadis! Zelgadis! Where are you? Zelgadis! He cried out in desperation. Over here, I'm fine, but Amelia's leg is trapped. There, got it. Gowrie? Gowrie, you with Lena over there? Zell coughed in the dusty air. Zelos stumbled to his feet and bounded over to the gully, hiding Zell and Amelia from view. Gowrie waved and struggled to his feet, pulling a ragged but whole Lena up as well. Martina shook herself free from the debris and stared wide-eyed at the destruction around her. Your cell phone, Zelgadis, is it working? Mine's shot. Is it? Thank your karma for me. Buzzval, tell him. Here, I will. Zelos panted, coughed, and sneezed simultaneously. Val, God, it's a mess here. You must, I repeat, must, get Milgazia to meet us at the... Are you listening? Yeah, sirens. It's going to get noisier fast, and we have to get out of here. Go to the Katato Mountains. Repeat that back. Yeah, that's right. ASAP. It will take the rest of the night driving like maniacs and stopping for gas to get there before sunup. Good luck. Yeah, we're all okay, considering. Thanks, Val. Remind me to tell you a funny story about your ex-old man, okay? Hurry. Bye. Zelgadis was already in his car, engine running. Amelia was in the back, holding back tears, barely. Gowrie claimed the front seat because he took up too much space in the back.
Before closing his door, he pulled Lena onto his lap. Zelos and Martina crammed in beside Amelia in the back, and Zell floored it. Zelos directed him down a back service road, away from the advancing emergency vehicles. "I gotta stop for gas. We're running on fumes as it is," he muttered to Gowrie. Martina snapped out of her daze. "Quarter mile on the right. Gas and go. Has a bathroom and market. I need to go, and I need a drink."
"She drinks gas?" Gowrie smiled at Zell.
"Figures."